Anyway, time to get to you, Ernst.
Okay, you saved the guy who talks the longest for the last. So I hope everybody's not falling asleep at the moment and still away from my piece here.
Where with you, Ernst?
So, but okay,
perfect.
Here we go. Finally. So my topic of choice for this global hockey podcast, and let me join the previous speakers as well in congratulating you guys on your 50th anniversary here.
Thank you, Ernst.
A great achievement. But my topic of choice was or is tradition versus innovation. So my talking points will be, okay, what are the components of traditional hockey for me? And then I'm talking about one, top hockey versus recreational hockey, and two, domestic hockey versus international hockey, and three, outdoor hockey, or 11-a-side hockey versus indoor hockey, or 6-a-side hockey.
Yep.
And I want to compare that to the recent innovations we've seen in the game of hockey, innovations on the terms of events and formats of the game, but also innovations in rules. And I think that we see not enough innovations in other fields, and I would like to finish by that.
Now, can you give us all a moment just to sharpen our pencils?
let me declare right from the beginning where I stand, what my colors are. I am a traditionalist. I think hockey is great the way it is. It should change as little as possible. And if there are any people out there who don't like it or don't understand it, well, that's your loss. Hockey should not adapt to the public. Sports fans around the world should be taught to understand and love the game as is. That is my point of view here. And then if you go back and you talk about, okay, what for me is traditional hockey? The first topic is top hockey versus recreational hockey, and then challenges there, because it is different throughout the world. Top hockey in some countries will be full pro hockey players, guys who are really fully professional invested in the game. But in a lot of countries, these guys will be semi-pro. And then when they are talking about some of the top nations, like the Netherlands or Belgium or Australia or Germany, these guys are not full pro.
No.
Forget about it. They are semi-pro. And then most of the countries are just plain amateurs. All of the countries outside of the top 10, these guys playing top hockey, mind you, are amateurs. Guys who are playing like in Ireland or in France or in Canada or whatever, they have to pay their way to make it to international tournaments.
Yeah.
They're not even, hey, these guys take unpaid leave from their work. You could say that's one thing, but even they have to invest in making the travel to go to Rio, for example, and they have to invest their own money to be there. So that's really amateuristic hockey. And it is very difficult to be able to manage a sport globally if at the top level it's so diverse. And that is one of the things that is really is different for us compared to the big sports like football, because pro football all over the world is pro football, and that is not the case for hockey. And but if you compare top hockey versus recreational hockey, then the differences get even bigger, I think, if you look throughout the world. We've got obviously the system I know the best is the club system we are familiar with in countries like the Netherlands or Belgium and Germany, which are big family oriented clubs where the kids come with their parents, brothers and sisters play in the same club, nephews and nieces, aunts and uncles, fathers and mothers, grandparents, they all come together at the club and they spend a lot of time together at one club, at one event, and it's really a social activity, it's a hobby, and it's a way of life here. And that makes a big difference from other kinds of club systems. If, for example, you look at countries like Spain or Argentina, where you also have family-oriented clubs, but these are the big multi-sport clubs. The same clubs, they will offer you rugby, they will offer you football, they will offer you tennis, they will offer you hockey, they will offer you padel, golf, whatever. So it is a different environment. And then you've got, for me, I'm not that familiar with it, but the way I see it from abroad, you've got the typical Anglo-Saxon kind of clubs, which are usually smaller clubs and with a more targeted audience. Hey, you've got clubs who are focused on students. You've got clubs who are focused on male adult teams, and you've got clubs who are focused on only youth teams and stuff like that, and they only play in regional competitions. And you've got the, of course, in a lot of countries in the world, you've got the school system. I think honestly, if you're playing field hockey in the US of A, if you're not in school, you can't play hockey anymore, almost. And obviously in a lot of countries, most of them Asian countries probably, there is not such a really thing as an organized club system or an organized recreational system. These are more, one-off tournaments. Some one-day tournaments, some three-day tournaments, or multiple-day tournaments, and one day you decide to play with this team in this tournament, and a month later you play with another team in another tournament. So all that also makes it very difficult to manage both top hockey and recreational hockey on a global scale. And next component is what I think is the domestic hockey versus international hockey. It's where some countries, you have federations, national bodies, who focus almost solely on the national teams and on international hockey. And other countries, they consider the domestic hockey, the recreational hockey, to be the foundation of the game. That is a completely different approach and makes it, again, very difficult to manage the expectations from all around the world. And it is becoming a big problem for these countries that consider domestic hockey to be the foundation of the game to manage this, because at the moment the FIH is fully focused on international hockey and is almost forcing all national federations to do the same. So that makes it very difficult for countries like the Netherlands, Belgium or Germany to sustain the model that they have here. The third component from traditional hockey for me was 11 versus 11 or 6 versus 6. So obviously, I think we all agree that the outdoor hockey or the 11-a-side hockey, that is at the moment the main format of the game. Next to that, we have what we call today the indoor hockey, which is a 6 versus 6 hockey. And I think this could be maybe even rebranded to just a 6-a-side hockey or hockey 6 or whatever you want to call it, but because it can be played outdoor as well. The thing that makes it different is that you don't play it on artificial grass. You play it on a different surface. And if then you come to the recent innovations that are being made by the likes of the FIH, and some of these we like and some of these we hate. And one I absolutely hate and fear is the hockey fives that is being forced upon us. They claim that it is the IOC, the Olympics, that is forcing us to have fewer players on the team and smaller teams and a more exciting urban kind of hockey, more modern or stuff. To me, that is absolutely bullshit. I think it is the biggest mistake the FIH could make is promote hockey fives, because hockey fives doesn't exist. It has no followers. It has no fan base. There is no infrastructure in the world for hockey fives, and what would be the added value of hockey fives if you compare it to the actual game that exists at the moment, which is a hockey six game, 6 versus 6, the indoor hockey, which could be played outside as well. So, for me, it is the biggest mistake that they are making is focusing on hockey fives, and I really think that they should ditch that as soon as possible and focus on the two games that we have, two formats that we have, 11-a-side and 6-a-side indoor, which could be played outdoors. And those games suit all of the necessities to promote and grow our sport worldwide. And we don't need another hockey fives. One of the innovations in formats or events that I did like, and we talked about it a little bit before the shows already, is the hockey series. It's the tweaking of what used to be the Hockey World League. And what I like about it is that it keeps the basic good idea that was behind the original Hockey World League of allowing all countries, also the small ones and the ones without a big hockey tradition, to dream big and to participate in the possibility of joining the big events. What I think it's a good thing now with the hockey series is that they did simplify the format, because the Hockey World League was way too complicated. nobody understood the system where you're playing finals during half, semifinals and finals during quarterfinals and whatever. So this hockey series, which is about to start, I think next month is the first events of, of this new hockey series will be launched. I do think it's a good idea. I do think that there is room for improvement, still, but there always will be. But I do like the idea behind it. It gives smaller countries the possibility to dream big and to start building the game of hockey in their country and showing some international exposure as well. The next big thing that will be launched by the FIH, obviously, is the Hockey Pro League. And that has been talked about a lot on the hockey media all over the world for the last couple of months and more than a year already. We're about to start. It's almost half a year, 6 months or more or less, and then the first game will be played. What I do love about the Hockey Pro League is the basic concept behind it. Again, it's more games in front of home crowds. That I think is a brilliant idea. That is truly good marketing, and that will help our sport. Will it be a sustainable format? That remains a question, because all of the other criteria that we need to get a format like this a good start, they haven't been filled in by the FIH at this moment. We don't have a big sponsor, we don't know about the finances, so that is still a big question. What I think still remains to be changed, and I was not happy with the newest innovation or the newest change in events is the big qualifiers. So I mean the qualifier tournament for the World Cup and the qualifier event for the Olympic Games, because they changed the rules for this and not according to what they originally talked about when they launched the Hockey Revolution. So some of the changes are good, some of them are bad. But to be honest, I am beginning to understand why India pulled out of the Hockey Pro League at this moment. Because honestly, I think in this system, which is still a complicated system, but already simpler than before, but it is easier to get to the qualifier through the hockey series than if you're a Hockey Pro League country.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
That is not a good idea. Honestly, I think that the second round of the hockey series should also be open for Pro League countries. And Pro League countries should be able to be playing in the hockey series finals as well and get to the qualifier for the Olympics or the qualifier for the World Cup through that way. And honestly, I do think that the Hockey Pro League should not give any seats for this qualifier. It is an invitational tournament. It's an invitational event.
Yeah.
It is there to promote hockey. Great. Top idea. Love it. Hope you get it financed. But please do not issue global ranking points for this event and do not give seats to major qualifying events for the really major tournaments. Because it is an invitational tournament, so it would not be fair. And that rings also the next issue that I think that we truly need some new ideas. That is this global ranking system, because today it is completely unfair. And I fear, because what I've heard in the grapevine about the change they want to make, it will remain an unfair system with points being issued for continental champions and points being issued for Hockey Pro League games.
Now, Ernst, you're being a little bit.
That is something that
you're being
will have a big impact.
You're being a little bit naughty there, because you're bringing the global ranking system into the debate, and you know that that can be three shows back to back with that one. Geez, you brought up some points there. I hope our panelists have written down some notes. So, what? You're a traditionalist then? Look, I agree. It's great the way it is. Let's open it out. We can talk about. Do you think it's great the way it is? Do we need to change the? The FIH and National Association priorities, domestic versus international teams, 11v11, 6v6, hockey fives, the hockey series, is it giving everybody an opportunity to dream big, and why not chuck in the Hockey Pro League if you've got something to say about that as well. Tyrone, off you go.
John, have you written it down?
No. But we not all of it. Matt's got it written down. That's what I've got a secretary for. Yeah. Now, look. Jazz, well, how about we start with you? Because India did cause some waves with this whole Hockey World League thing when they withdrew.
Pro League, sorry.
What's the feeling on the Indian side of things about that?
See, the reason officially or unofficially that was given was that it doesn't fit into the system, because India thought that it's easier to qualify through the Hockey World League than the Hockey Pro League. And off the record, everybody knows that there were some off-field issues as well, which some thought prompted India's decision to pull out of the Hockey Pro League. But at the Hockey World League, the former CEO of the FIH did mention that the doors are always open for India to come back into the Hockey Pro League, and it's for the obvious reasons, because Hockey Pro League is sustainable only if it has enough money in terms of sponsors and all that. And I'm sure most of you would agree that most of the money pumped into the international hockey these days is coming from India. So unless India is there participating in the Hockey Pro League, it looks unsustainable at this point. I hope FIH can pull it off, but with India not being part of the Hockey Pro League, it looks unsustainable. And as of now, it's status quo. They are out of the Hockey Pro League, and they're focusing on the Hockey World League and possibly qualifying for the Olympics by defending their Asian Games gold and get that monkey off their back. In that case, it will put the ball firmly in India's court whether they want to come back to the Hockey Pro League or not. But yeah, that's the state right now in terms of Hockey Pro League as far as India is concerned.
Now, Jazz, what about your view with regard to the game's great the way it is? Do you prefer the 11v11 format? Do you like quarters? Do you like halves? What's your take?
Like Ernst, I am also a traditionalist, a 40-year-old traditionalist, who would like to see the game as is right now, because at many points, whenever I discuss this thing with my hockey colleagues, whether the game should grow in by way of innovating and bringing in different innovations into it, like the hockey sixes, hockey fives, so, two goals counting for a field goal, etc., etc. Then we always compare it with with football. Obviously, it's not a viable comparison at this stage, because football is the most popular game the world has ever seen. But how many times have you seen football making an innovation in terms of rules and regulations? Has it lost its sustainability by not doing that? No, it hasn't. So why hockey needs to do it? As Ernst said, that there is pressure from the IOC in terms of introducing the hockey six, hockey fives, and hockey sixes, so that it becomes more enjoyable, more a T20 cricket kind of things, where things happen in a flash. But in terms of, like Ernst said again, that if you don't like the 11 versus 11 format, then it's your loss. It needs to stay as is. And if the onus lies with FIH how to promote it the way it is right now. Why they can't do it? The reasons need to be found out for that. Not by introducing almost foolish things like counting a field goal as two, and the spectators in the stands are left high and dry that how the team that was losing 2-1 scored a field goal in the last 10 seconds and won 3-2. So that's a foolish thing to consider. So if you think about tradition versus innovation, I am in the tradition camp.
Let me get into that, because I agree with a lot of the comments that Jazz made here, and you cut me off before that I could make my final point here, because because, okay, I'm complaining a lot about what should not be done and what is wrong at the moment, but if I want to focus and I want to end on what I do think is the innovation that we do need and we should be done and will help hockey to grow as a sport worldwide, is innovations in the way that we bring the game to the public. I think the innovation should be focused the next couple of years, not on rule changes, not on format changes, not on events or whatever. They should be focused completely on the way that you broadcast your game or narrowcast your game or do live streamings, do multiple screens, do multiple cameras, do a lot of slow motions, bring in, please bring in more stats, talk about circle penetrations, talk about tackles, talk about steals, talk about shots on target, off target, all about the stats that really create the vibe around the game the way the Americans do. If you talk to the American sport guys, you talk NBA or you talk Major League Baseball, they talk about the stats. We don't talk about the stats enough because that will help us understand the game and the way the game is played. And finally, I think, and that is probably a sore point for some, but we need knowledgeable commentators. Because at the moment, the guys who are doing commentating for our game of hockey, our guys do not know what they're talking about. Some of these guys are professional commentators, but they don't know the sport. Some of these guys know a little bit about the sport, but they don't know how to be a commentator. And this is where we really lose a lot of audience. If you get a good commentator, he will bring the love for the game to the people, to the sports fans who are not actual hockey fans at the moment. And I think that is the innovation we need.
Even if you're running a personal blog, you can be a good commentator.
Some might.
I'll make sure I plan that little bit, Jazz, too.
I think Jazz is pitching for a job, actually.
Now, Keely, let's bring you into this conversation.
Sure. Well, I think we've got a bit of a very different perspective here in Canada because we are a tiny hockey nation. Even though our men do punch well above their weight on the international stage, that's largely due to the fact that those individual players are actually just kind of tagging along with the exceptional club systems that are, you know, elsewhere in Europe, and they go over and play there and develop as top level players and then come back and compete for Canada, whereas the women haven't been afforded those same opportunities. I think that we sort of watch all this and just go, God, we can't even get this right. Like, we're just trying to figure out how to develop a club, and we're just trying to get our turf laid, and we're just, can we just slow down a little bit so we can get 11 on 11 right? Now, we sent a men's team down to the youth Olympic qualifier, so a junior Pan Am team on the boys' side, and they did manage to squeeze in, coming in third, and so they are going to the Youth Olympics. And to me, that it cheapens a lot of things about hockey because we're not playing the game, as Ernst points out, in the traditional way. We don't have the breadth of international competition actually focusing any efforts on this hockey prize whatsoever. And to me, it's counterintuitive. If you want more kids to play, why are you putting fewer of them on the pitch? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. And I made a joke earlier with you guys, I know, about how pretty soon the umpires are going to outnumber the players if we keep going this way. Which, hey, cool, but probably not what we want. So, I guess I would fall in the traditionalist camp as well, and that what we need to be focusing on is what do we do best as hockey, and do that better instead of trying to be everything to everyone with all of these different formats. It's just, the diversification is just way too hard for the rest of us smaller countries to keep up with.
Spot on.
Thank you, Keely. Tyrone, you've been sitting back quietly listening to all of this. What do you make?
Turn your mic on, mate.
Yeah, I had to digest some of it. So obviously, I mean, regular listeners will know that I am a massive indoor hockey fan. Whether you call it indoor hockey or you call it hockey sixes, I think in indoor hockey, FIH already have a superb T20 version of their game. I think we can all agree that the 11-a-side should be the biggest version of the game. It should be the ultimate version of the game, and it should be the version that dominates our headlines and our tournaments and stuff. But the indoor hockey offers a very palatable alternative that is already phenomenal. I mean, when I was in Croatia in January, I streamed an indoor hockey game on one cell phone. And I think it just offers you an alternative. You know, you don't need an AstroTurf. You can play in any school hall. You can just put up two goals and you can play. Put a bit of tape on the floor so the infrastructure costs become a lot less, and for the development of the game, it becomes a lot less. It is a lot safer than this demonic version of the game that they call Hockey Fives. which you know, I am maybe a little bit younger in the sense that by definition I fit as a millennial, but only by definition. And I think FIH, where I've always said hockey has been great, is they've always adapted when they've needed to, but now it appears that they're trying to adapt when they don't have to. They have a good product, and instead of spending their energy on exactly what Ernst said now, finding the right way to take their sport to the masses, they're spending energy on trying to break the sport that all of us love. I think, you know, you've spoken about it a lot, the Franken Nines, I think Hockey Fives, I mentioned the Varsity Sports in South Africa, where they exploring the two-point field goal and the power play. You know what? I'm not a fan. I think traditional form of the game, you know, I also am a fan of cricket, and I love test cricket. I think the traditional form of a game is where you test anybody's skills to the greatest level. I think you have a great alternative, and if the Olympics eventually say, look, you need to cut down and only have a smaller version, use indoor hockey. It's cheaper, it's there, and more teams can play it. But the World Cup then becomes a bigger spectrum. In terms of the Pro League, the only thing I'll say is 100% agree it should not have any qualifying points or ranking points, in the sense that it doesn't involve everybody in a tournament. It's only available to those who have been invited, cannot and should not separate you in terms of qualification. As South Africa, we are obviously really disappointed that we weren't invited. We did enter, because it just means that the gap that's between us and some of the bigger nations is just going to grow. The opportunity for them to come and tour South Africa, when they used to tour, this is now when they'll be playing Pro League. So we're going to have to be innovative in trying to get more games for our teams, because right now, realistically, we've got our continental qualifiers, and as it stands, we're not part of any of the open series yet. And that's it. So we appoint a coach for Commonwealth and Continental, and that's it. So hockey, innovative sport, absolutely. You know, the rule where you could self-pass, the rule when changed when you could play in the air, were fantastic additions to the game. I think the way hockey has done video assistant referees is for me a highlight, and something that the world of football should look towards. At times it's still frustrating, but most of the time we get the right call, the one review. But now stop trying to change a working model.
I would like to get back to what Ernst mentioned about statistics. Talking about statistics. What he mentioned was about a particular game, like circle penetrations, shots on goal, position, etc.
Yeah.
Which is shown on screen during live broadcast, which happens only, unfortunately, only for major international tournaments. But what I would like to touch here is statistics on a broader spectrum. Like, the fans should have readily accessible information that how many international matches or their favorite player has played, which you can spend, I think, 15 years to find for one single player.
It's a nightmare.
And you may still find the wrong information or multiple information at different places.
So I
am coming in here from the point of view of a journalist who might have to write a profile of a certain player, and for that he had to run from pillar to post to find out how many matches he has played, or how many matches he has, how many goals, international goals he has scored. Mm. And there is hardly any information available anywhere around the globe. The only man I know who can give me pinpoint accurate information is a person called B.G. Joshi, who happens to be living in India, is a retired government official and has record for all international matches that have been played till now, and it's deadly authentic. But the FIH, despite him getting in touch with them on multiple occasions, have not entertained him the way he should be entertained, like whether they are considering it, they are looking to put it on, but and why go as far as FIH? Even his stats are not hosted even on the Hockey India website. So if your host country is not doing it, then I can't blame the FIH. So first of all, the host country needs to have it on their website, and it's not that they have to go anywhere to find it. They have a man in place in their country. They have just have to pay him certain amount of money because he has put in his effort. So that's also equally important. And the information will be available. And I would like to compare this with coming from India. Obviously, I compare most of the sports, especially hockey, with cricket. Why? Because to find statistics about cricketers, it's almost a left-hand job. You can just go to Crick Info, sites like Crick Info, Crick Buzz, and they have a statistics tool called Stats Guru, where you can trickle down to information as minute as on which day of the test match a certain player played how many balls. So if that kind of information can be available in one sport, why can't it be available in the other sport? And why can't the FIH make an effort in this regard and maybe find a person like B.G. Joshi or somebody else who is providing similar stats to host it on their website so that the fans can get access to that. It's also one of the way of getting fans back into the game, young fans who are more inclined to social media, the websites and all that, where they, which is the first thing they go to find anything out. So why can't the FIH make that kind of investment off the field? That's what I'm trying to point out.
Well, hopefully they're going to listen to this episode and take a few tips, Jazz.
Oh, look, I couldn't agree with you anymore, Jazz. It's been a bugbear of mine since we started doing this podcast. It's statistics for hockey just do not exist. They're almost invisible. Now, look, guys, we've had you here for a long time. We're going to have to wrap things up in a minute. But just on what Ernst said, I'd just like to say two things. First of all, drawing a long bow here, but I hope you follow me. One of the most conservative groups within our societies is farmers. If you've ever been around farmers, you know how conservative they can be. And they are pretty much traditionalists. But if you go to a farm, you will also see how bloody innovative they are. Farmers innovate all the time. They do amazing things around their farms because they don't have access. You know, invention is the mother of... What is it?
Invention.
People know what
necessity
I mean.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, that's it. And that's very much where farmers sit. So as conservative they are, they still have a mind that can tick over and be inventive, but not as inventive as, well, why don't we plant in winter this year instead of autumn? Or not as inventive as, oh, let's leave it until it gets to after summer before we do our harvest. There's certain things that are invaluable within your sport that you should maintain. And there's other things you can tinker with, and I think we've identified tonight the things that we should be tinkering with and the stuff that we need to leave alone, which is the game itself. The game is fine. It's all the issues around the game that we need to worry about. The second thing I'd like to say, Ernst, you brought up the hockey revolution there. That is the biggest load of marketing crap I've heard in a long time, the hockey revolution. They might as well have dressed up a bloke in a Che Guevara suit from the local deli, getting on TV saying, oh, we got a price revolution, tomatoes, $2.99 a kilo. It's on that level of marketing. It is seriously poor. It's no revolution at all, unless they're talking about a wheel going around in a circle and ending up where it started. Because that's what the hockey revolution is. If they wanted a hockey revolution, they would be going back to the clubs. They would be pouring time, effort and energy into making club hockey a stronger beast than it, you know, that's where the sport lacks. The sport will never go professional at the international level because we rely on government funding to make it happen. And, you know, the quicker we get rid of this notion that the revolution is actually something that's changing the game, the better off we'll be. That's my piece.
Epic rant alert. Thanks, Katie, for the little note you just sent through.
Before you wrap it up, John, it's 3-1 in favor of the traditionalists with Tyron more inclined towards the innovation. So you and Matt are left to vote so that we can know whether it's a draw or it's a for the traditionalists.
Thanks, Jazz. I'm all behind.
Yeah, remember with the innovation that my vote counts for 3 now because it was a field goal.
Good on you.
Yeah, no, I'm all for the Hockey Nines and can't wait for the Australian Hockey League to launch. And I'm hoping that we're going to have 6 quarters of 9 minutes per quarter
and
mix hockey in the middle.
Point to both.
Half a point when you score a goal from your own half, Jazz. Surely you know that by now.
Oh, look. Anybody want a last word before we wrap this all up?
Just before we do go, and anybody does get their last word, and congratulations to everybody we haven't mentioned, Dr. Batra all evening. Fantastic. Well done. Anybody? Anybody? Go for it.
It was difficult. It was really difficult.
Thanks for your time, Ernst.
Thanks very much, guys.
And Keely,
congratulations on your 50th episode once again.
Thank you, Jazz Pro. Thank you for joining us. Keely Dunn, you're there still?
Absolutely. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to bring all these, you know, diverse views from all over the world together. So what a great way to celebrate the 50th episode. Good job, guys.
It might become the 51st episode as well, looking at the time encounter. We might be splitting it over 2 weeks, this one, folks. Ernst, thanks again for joining us.
It was great being here, guys. Loved chatting with all kinds of people from all kinds of parts of the world, bringing in their views, and that is what hockey is all about.
Well, then from my side, just well done on 50. I think it's been a fantastic addition to the hockey media environment, having the podcast to listen to regularly, and I think it's what we all want. We all just want more info, and if you just listen here, there's just passion for the game, and that's what we want. We want to see the game continue to grow. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Tyron. Thank you for your efforts, and thank you for your kind words. I did want to mention to Ernst before, we wanted solutions, not problems, Ernst. Jeez, you brought a few up there. It's been a delight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us on the 50th episode. And, great stuff, guys. Thank you.